Welcome to Jags Drive Time with Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osher, and Brian Sexton. Jags Drive Time starts right now.
Happy game week, happy Labor Day, happy Monday. Welcome in Jaguars Drive Time. Ashlyn Sullivan, Brian Sexton, and John Osher here with you this week. It is for real as we get ready to head to Houston this weekend, take on the Texans for week one of the regular season. I'm excited. It's for real this time.
I can tell there are a lot of happies.
Oh, she's about to say you're happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
What's that word I made up a couple years ago now? I can't remember it, and you guys make fun of me for it.
Happy?
Pipey.
Pipey.
Remember Pipey? Yes, Pipey. The good old days of Pipey.
I do remember that.
Long ago.
Long ago. Well, coming off a big college football weekend, and I know you guys are going to make fun of me, but it was really cool to see fans in the stands. I'm not going to lie. I watched the Wisconsin jump around video. I shed a little tear. A happy tear. It's like, look
well,
at all these
more
fans.
Happy for you. Yeah.
In the stands.
Yeah, watched. I didn't watch a whole lot of college football. Watched Mackenzie Milton last night.
Mm-hmm.
And even for this old cynical hack, that was a heartwarming story. That was cool.
And the kicker really ruined cool. it.
What's that?
The Notre Dame kicker ruined it.
Yeah, I mean,
he ruined
the fact that he got on the field and did that, I think, trumped. I don't think in 5 years people think about that game. They'll remember who won or lost. They'll remember the kid coming back. And it was impressive.
It was. I totally agree. All right, let's get into big things,
let's go.
Shall we? Big thing one is Own It. It is for real now. We have heard Own It for months. We've seen it all around this building. Well, what exactly does Own It mean? We're going to find out this week. We get to see a game live in Houston on Sunday. How much can Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and DJ Chark get this offense going in the right direction? DJ Chark is pretty confident this year is going to go well.
Great offense. You know, Trevor can really throw it, so he's going to make my job even easier than before. I got Marvin on one side, LaVisca in the slot. Make my job easier, make me want to compete, make me want to go harder than they are. I think that get me where I need to be.
Big thing, too, is expectations. Now we have this own it mentality. It comes to the elephant in the room is how much can we expect rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence to perform and turn the season around? The vibe of Trevor Lawrence is what pressure? He can handle this no problem. Well, we've seen rookie quarterbacks succeed, and we've seen it take a little while, so we'll come back to this. Big thing three is control it. Coach Meyer thought his defensive line played well in the preseason. He mentioned owning the line of scrimmage is the key to wins and losses coming up. Winning this line of scrimmage will directly connect to a win and loss. This is a big deal, and we'll talk more about it. So let's go back to big thing two, which is the expectations of Trevor Lawrence and how much can we expect him to turn this thing around right away. It seems like that, right? It seems like even though Trevor Lawrence and being a rookie quarterback, it seems like it's almost automatic. So let's pull up these stats that Brian Sexton was nice enough to research. It's alarming that, you know, you take Andrew Luck 11-5, you take Baker Mayfield 6-7, the rest, it took some time to get this thing going.
And you obviously didn't have enough room for all the numbers. But you see the one loss record. Most of the touchdown to interception ratios for these guys were positive. Peyton Manning wasn't. He was 26-28. I think Baker Mayfield, just as an example, was 27-14, as you see the evolution of the passing game. Here's what struck me. All of these quarterbacks, passer efficiency rating, which is a complex formula that we don't have to go in depth, but it kind of shows you where a quarterback is performing, were 75 or below, which is to say, a lot of those touchdowns were in garbage time when the game was out of control. You know, a lot like Blake Bortles' numbers in 2015 when he set all the Jaguars' passing records, and yet they won 5 ball games.
Right.
So the thing that stood out to me about this is that whether you take Peyton Manning, who I think Trevor Lawrence reminds me of Peyton Manning, right? So that's 1998, and I kind of connected the quarterbacks through the era. You know, coming back to the guys in 18 and 19, and even Josh Allen. And I chose quarterbacks who had at least 10 starts so you could compare. They were okay. They were okay. A few guys. Ben Roethlisberger went 13-0, but he had a laundry list of Hall of Fame caliber players on the roster with him. Andrew Luck had a really good roster as well. Not the same for Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. So this roster will probably go a long way towards suggesting what the final record is for Trevor Lawrence when we add him to this list.
Well, Shane, you mentioned how he'll handle it. I think he will handle everything fine. That's what I'll watch for, because there's going to be struggles, going to be ups and downs. I expect this team to win 6 or 7 games. I hope it's more. I think everybody hopes it more. It has potential to be more. But realistically, looking at that chart, 1-15 last year, the moves they made, I think they're going to get better, and he'll make mistakes. The handling it part, I think, is the key. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to, and I can't imagine from seeing him, from reading about him, from talking to people about him, I can't imagine that he won't handle it well. If things go awry, which things inevitably go awry for a good quarterback, you have heard stories. I have talked to people who've been around rookie quarterbacks. They fall apart. It goes bad. It's gone bad around here. I don't expect Trevor Lawrence to change his approach, to change as a person, to change as a leader when all that happens. As long as he stays the course, I don't really worry about the numbers so much. I want to see by the end of the season that he's still he's still standing tall. You're still hearing from the back that he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the reviews you hear from people who've been around this league a while, who have been around Trevor, he is old school football, everything you want, he is. You want to keep hearing that in December. If I hear that, Brian, I don't care about those numbers.
Well, first of all, the numbers are just an right. indicator of how varied they are across that, and some successful quarterbacks on there. The interesting part to me is I don't know Trevor all that well. We've only had limited interaction with
but
him.
But he wants
camp.
To get to know you.
If I'm going to get to know him, obviously I've got to open things up there. But my point is only that when I sat with him for the broadcast production meetings last month, it was clear. 100% to me, he can handle this.
He's a quarterback.
He will have. Mm-hmm. He was born for the position. He is extraordinarily competent on and off the field, in front of the cameras, behind the scenes. That none of this will faze him.
Right.
It will take time. I see this is a 6 or 7 win team as well. Mm-hmm. The roster to me isn't as good as, well, certainly isn't as good as the Steelers were in 2004 or the Colts were in 2012 and 13. By the way, Andrew Luck went 11-5 in each of his first 3 seasons. So that was a really good roster that they had there.
Right.
This roster isn't there yet. It's clear. Is it better? Yes, it's better. What will his numbers be? It doesn't matter to me. One other point of interest regarding Trevor Lawrence. The expectations that we have for him are clearly much higher. Peter King in his column this morning, and Peter obviously is well-respected around the league and has that very popular Monday morning column, had 3 candidates for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Kyle Pitts, the tight end from the Falcons, which clearly a top 5 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Smith, 4th-round pick, guard for the Chiefs. And Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama. Lawrence, not even in his top 3. That's how low the bar is for him this year.
A guard is not going to be player.
He used it as a...
Where's my phone?
A writing tool able to introduce...
Right.
Trey Smith into the conversation for what he's overcome with his blood clots, which dropped him down.
I got to write it to us.
But forget it. But forget it for a minute. But he put a guard in there over Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick. You would think if you're talking about the number one overall pick, he'd be in the conversation for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But preseason, he's not in one of the most distinguished and heralded columns in the NFL. Just a point of order.
And I do feel like, truthfully, with the draft, he was in that conversation in April, May. It was, okay, he's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. The Jaguars are going to win 11-12 games. Let's go. And I do think preseason made everyone kind of, okay, let's lower our expectations. Let's be realistic with it. At least that's the feeling I get, is mm-hmm. that everyone is kind of, okay, let's chill out a little bit about this. It seems that way.
Yeah, I don't know if it's from preseason, although that didn't help. I just feel like maybe that... there's that pre-draft hype.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's excited. And then once you really look at it and remember, okay, 1-15, you remember these stats that we just saw. I would guess very few number one overall pick quarterbacks have been Offensive Rookie of the Year simply because there
That's
are probably
–
well, there are probably enough
the teams
hiccups on the way. Yeah. And the teams aren't good enough. Again.
However, you know whose numbers weren't on there was Justin Herbert, right?
Yeah.
And Herbert had 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. right? Of course, they had a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and yet he was a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the
right.
Year.
You know what's amazing? It seems like we've been talking about that this since my senior year in college, which was 50 years ago.
Talking about what?
It's Trevor, and what it's going to be, and how it's going to look. And finally, in 6 days, we get to find out.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. That makes me happy.
Happy and pipey.
And pipey. When we come back on Jaguars Drive Time, some hot takes for week one of the regular season coming up on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Jags Drive Time is brought to you by TIAA Bank. Turn potential into progress. And by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
It's a fact. All cars will eventually break down. If you have CarShield, you can protect yourself from the high cost of auto repairs. And they're America's number one auto protection company. Your transmission, engine, and car's computer system are all covered. Get the ultimate vehicle service protection. Call CarShield now at 800-471-1223. That's 800-471-1223.
At Vistar, we believe in better. And what's better than saving up to $5,000 in closing costs when you buy or refinance a home? With a Vistar no closing costs mortgage, you'll get a great rate, no hidden fees, and like the name says, no closing costs up to $5,000. If you believe saving money is better, join Vistar. Equal housing opportunity, insured by NCUA. All loans subject to credit approval. Offer not available on VA and FHA mortgages. For more information, visit VistarCU.org.
Your family isn't like anyone else's. Your home shouldn't be either. At Dreamfinders Homes, you can build the home of your dreams in one of their 30-plus communities in Northeast Florida. Choose from luxury single-family homes or maintenance-free townhomes from the 200s. Dreamfinders specializes in homes built to fit your lifestyle. To find out more, call 904-738-0165 or visit dreamfindershomes.com.
Call CarShield now. If your car's out of manufacturer's warranty, don't get stuck with expensive mechanical and computer repairs. Call CarShield. We're back, Jags Drive Time. It's Monday. It's Labor Day. We hope you all are enjoying maybe a day off of work as we get into some hot takes here for the regular season. Brian Sexton, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to start with numbers-based here, and I'll say that the Jaguars will be a 53-47% pass-run offense this season. And I was looking last year, and look, I chose the numbers slightly randomly. That's about the league average. The reason why is the coach keeps talking. And the indications from the way they built the team through the offseason, they were going to run the ball. And he obviously mentioned several times, and I know I've recanted it here from our production meeting, that he talked to Joe Burrow in the offseason, and Burrow said, if you do anything to help that kid, give him a running game, right? Play action, set the whole thing up. So they were 65-35 last season, pass run. And obviously they had the issue with inconsistent quarterback play. Mm-hmm. So here's a number for you. Over the last 2 years, Jaguars quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew, Mike Glennon, and Jake Luton being the three starters, were 1-15 when they threw the ball 35 times or more in a game, right? Now, at some point in time, you're going to be able to go and throw the ball 45 times a game with this quarterback, and it won't matter. But right now, in his rookie season, you don't want to throw in the ball more than 35 times because it has proven over the last 2 years to be ineffective with young quarterbacks, because that's what at least Luton and Minshew were young quarterbacks. So I'm saying that the coach's efforts to instill the running game and to make it the dominant factor to help his quarterback this year will bring that number way, way down. I think they'll be a pretty good running team. Not dominant, but a pretty good running team that will allow them to pick and choose their spots to go crazy with the passing game. But I think overall, when you look at it, 53-47 would be a really good ratio for this team when this season is said and done.
You spent some time on the internet this weekend.
You are calculating.
Got a little research up top, a little research in this segment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can just spitball it.
Give it up. Yeah. Hey, I agree with you. If they're as good running the ball as you think, then I think maybe they have a chance to be better than my 6 or 7 projection, because I was looking at at one of the screenshots earlier, and they showed the defensive line. And the defensive line, I may have underestimated in the offseason. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my hot take.
Nice.
Before you do that, real quick, you say one of the reasons why, just to support it, I think Chris Manhurts makes a huge difference in their running game this year.
Yeah, I mean, they have done some things that maybe weren't high profile that will help them more than people think on the field. Because the defensive line is going to be better, I think Miles Jack. Remember Miles Jack? Actually,
remember
he used to be
him.
On this team?
Yeah. He still is.
Well, he is, but people don't talk about him. And maybe it's because we all look for storylines that aren't Miles Jack. We look for new stuff. He's still on this team. He's still the Jaguars' best player. And as much as you want to talk about Trevor Lawrence, and I'm all over Josh Allen and C.J. Henderson getting better, Miles Jack is an elite linebacker at a linebacker spot that nobody talks about anymore. Nobody talks about the runaround guy who's not a sack guy. He's elite there, and I think this year, because if they improve from 1 to even 7, people are going to look for a reason why. It's going to be Trevor, but I think Miles Jack this year, there was a bubbling around the league that he was really good last year, but the bubbling didn't really reach teams, postseason stuff. It was just sort of acknowledged among football people. That usually takes a year to catch up. I think this year people around the league will talk about Miles Jack, and hopefully for his sake he gets the recognition he deserves because he is an elite player.
He is. Pro Bowl caliber player that just hasn't got – but you can't blame him for not getting the recognition because of this team's record.
Right. At 1-15, there was no way he gets honors last year. Mm-hmm. If they get to above water, so to speak, 7-10-ish,
well, then you
I
let his athleticism.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, now when you're playing with the lead, you see what Miles Jack can do.
Right.
You'll see more interceptions, sacks, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. All right, we're going to go to some news over the weekend for this next hot take. The Jaguars signing Jacob Hollister, tight end. And I was at Jaguars All Access last Thursday night, and this was not official yet. This was kind of buzzing, and fans were like, oh my gosh, when we sign Jacob Hollister, this is going to be great. This is going to reignite the offense, Mercedes Lewis. This is going to fill the role that we need. I think Jacob Hollister checks a needed box, but I don't think this is going to be as impactful as people think. With the stats that Jacob Hollister has recorded the past two seasons, 41 receptions and 3 touchdowns, it would make him the leading tight end on this current roster, above James O'Shaughnessy. But I don't think this is going to so-called save the season, revamp the offense. It's not going to be Mercedes Lewis, Travis Kelce, star tight end. It's needed.
Well, first of all, he's not Mercedes Lewis. He is not a blocker. And you've got that in Chris Manhertz. Here's my thing. He and James O'Shaughnessy are the same guy.
Right.
O'Shaughnessy had 28 receptions last year and a touchdown. This guy had a chance to play with Russell Wilson in Seattle and with Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So he's played with really consistent quarterbacks the last couple of years. But he's released, right? I mean, really impactful players are not released, okay? Those guys are traded if they aren't needed where they're at. So the one thing that James O'Shaughnessy has over him, not the numbers, is he's got a relationship with Trevor Lawrence from being here in training camp. I mean, to me, he's the second receiving tight end. That's it. We'll see what he does. Maybe he becomes more than that in the way that they use him. But they needed another guy. We talked about it last week. He's the other guy.
You guys have dogs?
Where are you going with
Did
this?
Did Jacob Hollister kick him?
What?
You guys are down on Jacob Hollister.
I'm not down on him. I'm just saying.
I agree. There was such a buzz to get a tight end,
And it happened,
that I think when they got a tight end, everybody said, oh, we got one. Well, this kid's good.
He's fine.
But I think you're right. He's James O'Shaughnessy. They needed another guy like that they could count on. I've been saying for a couple months, there's actually two tight ends on rosters now. There's blocking tight ends and receiving tight ends. They had one receiving tight end. Now they have another one, so they have a little depth there. They'll be fine, but he's James O'Shaughnessy again.
Sure. I see the need why you picked up another one, but I mean, it's not like you've all of a sudden solved the position.
Right. And that was the vibe I got with season ticket members. It was, you figured it out.
I think John is right on this one. I think people have been so hungry for a tight end. And this was a guy whose name they probably heard during a playoff game with the Seahawks or the Bills, and it just becomes, okay, this is an upgrade from what we have. And what I'm saying is, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's needed, but I don't think he's an upgrade.
What also speaks, James O'Shaughnessy's fine.
Yeah.
If he is in a functioning offense for 16 games with a running game that's working, he can have the sort of season he was starting to have in 2019 when he got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah,
he
incredible.
Was on pace for about a 500 or 600-yard season.
That kind of a season.
If they get that out of him, 300 out of Hollister, something like that, then they're functional at tight end. They've got to get to functional first.
Yep. We have diminished the buzz. Complete.
Well, kick that dog.
When we come back here on Jaguars Drive Time, some Ozone Snapshot on the Jaguars Digital Network.
J.
Jags Drive Time is presented in part by Dreamfinders Homes, homes that fit your lifestyle, and Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good.
It's a fact. All cars will eventually break down. If you have CarShield, you can protect yourself from the high cost of auto repairs. And they're America's number one auto protection company. Your transmission, engine, and car's computer system are all covered. Get the ultimate vehicle service protection. Call CarShield now at 800-471-1223. That's 800-471-1223.
Pinpoint, the official signage partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, helps business decision makers like you maximize the impact of their brand. Your company's identification, advertising, and even the words you use make an impression on your clients. With Pinpoint as your coach, you can make sure it's a good impression. Pinpoint provides the creative design and production services for anything you need to enhance your brand, from custom signage to complete marketing solutions. Step up your game with Pinpoint and create the ultimate brand experience for your clients. Visit experiencepinpoint.com.
A lot has changed in 60 years, but there's one thing that remains the same. Our commitment to our customers and to our community. There's no place like Jacksonville, and there's no place like Gate. Thank you for allowing us to serve you, past, present, and future. Now through August 31st, Jags fans can enjoy two of your favorite roller grill items for just $2 at participating Gate locations. Get them while they're hot. Gate. Serving up more.
My goal is to be at my peak week one. And unfortunately, that may have led to a couple of missed kicks in preseason. But I think this coaching staff sees my dedication and you know, I'm doing more for my body because, let's be honest, you know, I've ended a couple of seasons on IR here recently. So I'm doing more than I ever have. I'm in great communication with everybody, and my confidence levels are through the roof.
Josh Lambeau, press conference last week. I'm not going to lie, it was a little spicy. He came in a little hot. And
yeah, I mean, when kickers miss kicks,
you get questions.
All people know about kickers where they make or miss.
Yeah.
He missed twice. So people wrote, and he wasn't talking to the media. I mean, well, he was boycotting the media, but he didn't have any availabilities. So you're right that he missed 3 of 6 one day, and he was 0-for-2 over 40. And he came in, and he came in hot, as they say. So,
yeah.
But it was an entertaining press conference. I think it was no harm, no foul, and he's going to be the kicker. And he, you know, I went back again and looked at his stats. I actually have the internet too, Brian. So I went back and looked at stats for Josh Lambeau. And his numbers are incredible since he's gotten here. He's missed 5.
Yeah.
And so for him to smirk a little bit and act like everybody was going a little over the top, probably fair.
Well, and look, people watch the games, but they don't see the practice field. And the coaches, they're tracking everything on the practice field as well. So he says that his confidence is sky high. I mean, it is because obviously he's practiced well.
We had a couple of bad practices
early on.
What sort of pushed the narrative a little bit
early
too,
on? Early on, he did. But remember, he's also coming off of a pretty serious hip injury, and I know that he spent time, you know, traveling. He talked about investing a lot of time and money in his own body, traveling to see guys who were specialists for kickers, for soccer players, and things like that. I didn't like him at first. I thought he was too quirky for me. Right, the whole having your dog there for the signing day. I thought, what is
that's
this?
Trendy?
No, enough. It's football, please. But I kind of like this version of Josh because you have to put yourself in the mindset of being on the field in an away stadium with a huge kick and the crowd going nuts against you and all the pressure on you to win or lose to get into the playoffs, right? Which is what we're talking about here. You've got to have that mindset and that chippy, spicy mindset.
Yep.
I like it. I want him to have that. I don't care that we don't have playoff expectations for this team this year. He's got to have those kinds of expectations. If this team is going to win 7 games, or God forbid more, they're going to need their kicker to come through. I want my kicker to have that kind of an attitude.
Yeah. Stay with it, Lambeau.
Yeah,
we're here for it. All right, let's go to Ozone Snapshot now.
This broadcast is Ozone friendly.
David, the island. Trevor is listed at 213 pounds. How many pounds would the Jags like him to weigh? Looks to me like 235 would be better, John.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I've gotten this a lot since Trevor got drafted because he's he's thin and leaner than most quarterbacks. He's also taller than most quarterbacks. My thing on this is he's 21 years old. I certainly know from experience that you gain weight as you get older. So,
but are you listening, Schlynn?
That sort of happens naturally for human beings. They will make sure over the next couple of off seasons that he gains weight the right way. He certainly looks like he has the frame to be about 235. That feels somewhere in that range. He's probably a little too thin ideally now, but by the time he's 23 or 24, I think he will have, you know, the grown man mass, all that stuff. He will look like ideal quarterback.
I don't know what the body fat percentage is, but the guy's ripped. I mean, you look at his arms, right? And I thought when he sat down with us for that meeting that I keep alluding to, but it's the only one-on-one that I've really had with him, other than sitting in some of the press conferences. And he has big arms. I mean, he's not just long, but he's well-defined. So it's not like he's frail. I mean, the guy is—he's got a good, sturdy frame.
He'll grow into the way he's supposed to,
without a doubt. And the athletic training staff here, Anthony Schlegel, they will have a plan for him. He will go work his own plan at some point in the off season. He will be just fine. I would say anywhere between 230 and 235 would probably be right about right. Isn't that what Manning played at?
About that.
Tom Brady's 230.
Manning was a little different body type than him. I mean, now Trevor's a really good athlete. Could probably play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
He's that, you know, so.
And he looks like a small forward.
I don't know that he necessarily has to be. I think Manning was even like 240 at top. Like, he was a big guy.
As long as he doesn't get as big as Ben. Ben Roethlisberger looks like an offensive lineman. He's
big
so big.
Dude. Yeah. I will say, you see him in pads. You walk past the hallway before game day, and you see him in pads, and you don't think he's thin.
No.
He fits the part when you see that.
And you see the picture from him when they were at the lake house. I mean, the guy's ripped. I mean, he's in excellent physical shape.
Don't worry about the guy. He's okay. Yeah. All right, let's go to Orange Park. Jay Hooks. Can we foresee the NFL and the NFLPA making it so no other team can mine other practice squads? What would be the pros and cons of making this rule?
I don't think you'll see this because I think fans, when they see teams come and get players from practice squads, think, oh, that's our guy they're coming to get. I don't think you will see this change because this would have to go through the NFLPA to be approved. And the NFLPA does not necessarily want something that restricts movement. For people to understand, practice squad players are essentially free. They're very close to being free agents. They're not signed to the team. Now, they're not quite free agents because there's that one little caveat where a team signing them has to keep them on the roster for 3 weeks.
Right.
So that inhibits a little bit of movement. But they can go sign anywhere. And the reason for that is the NFLPA does not want these players to not be able to move if there is an opportunity on another roster. So I would be surprised. It would benefit the teams for this email to come to fruition. It would not benefit the players. Yes. So I don't think the NFLPA would agree to such a thing.
No chance. Rough numbers here because I know they change year to year. But the weekly salary for a practice squad player, and again, this goes back to the days when they were all younger players, was about $8,000. And the weekly salary for a guy who gets signed to the active roster is about 30, right? Between 25 and 30.
Whoa.
So now you're talking about a guy who would earn what? $100,000 on the practice squad all year with a chance to earn about $100,000 in 3 weeks. The NFLPA would never take away the opportunity for a player to earn that kind of a check. Never.
It does feel like there's going to be some talk around this topic, because it seems like more and more teams are paying practice squad. You can pay practice squad guys more than you're allowed to. So some teams are trying to pay guys more to entice them to keep them. But I don't think it will get to the point where they are allowed to stash guys without the threat of another team signing.
Well, and it's tiered now, too. So the younger guys without experience get less than the six guys who, you know, the veterans that you can keep on there. They earn considerably more than the $8,000 a week. So, yeah, they've got some incentive things there, but it's always, I mean, let's be honest. If the NFLPA had their way, everyone would be a free agent every year.
Right.
Yep.
Right. That way you maximize your earning potential.
And there'd be 100 guys on each roster. The owners don't want. I mean,
there's a moderation.
They're trying to keep a certain number.
So. Without a doubt. But the point is that the NFLPA will never give away the dollars. And that's what they would be doing for these players.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. That is Ozone Snapshot. When we come back, some closing thoughts here on Jags Drive Time.
That sound is every driver's worst fear. How much will the repairs cost? Is it your engine, your transmission, or worse? A car breakdown could cost you thousands to repair, but not if you have CarShield. CarShield administrators pay your claims directly to the mechanic or dealer of your choice, saving you time and money. Call CarShield today before your next breakdown. Call 800-471-1223, 800-471-1223.
Your family isn't like anyone else's. Your home shouldn't be either. At Dreamfinders Homes, you can build the home of your dreams in one of their 30-plus communities in Northeast Florida. Choose from luxury single-family homes or maintenance-free townhomes from the 200s. Dreamfinders specializes in homes built to fit your lifestyle. To find out more, call 904-738-0165 or visit dreamfindershomes.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better. And that means treating people better with friendly, personal service that's kept our members happy since 1952. A smile and personal greeting when you enter the branch, an online or phone chat for those quick questions, and a call center that's open every day. If you believe that great service is better, join Vistar. Visit vistarcu.org. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
We're back, Jaguars Drive Time, Monday morning, brought to you by CarShield. Getting ready for week one of the regular season as the Jaguars get ready to take on the Houston Texans Sunday in Houston. Head coach Urban Meyer, press conference at 1 o'clock. You can watch it on Jaguars.com live and social media. Stay tuned, Jaguars Happy Hour this afternoon, and we will be back Wednesday morning right here on Jaguars Drive Time. Have a great Labor Day.